Well, I'm amazed that Parramatta have taken him back. For Jared, I think it's just a miracle.
It's kind of like, you know, in The Lion King, when Simba comes back, and that's great for everyone. But in this case, it's more like Scar coming back.
Yeah,
it's like
right.
a fucked up Hamlet. Cameron Smith should be made to wear, I don't know, a really heavy headgear just to bring him back to the field.
As you know, I coach an under-sevens rugby league. One of our loyal listeners had donated a litre of gin. I spiked their water bottles. I thought they played better.
Welcome to the latest episode of The Voluntary Tackle, the only NRL podcast Anthony Mundine hasn't called for to be brutally executed.
I will get to him.
Today on the show, we'll be hitting up all of the important issues in the run-up to the NRL season kickoff, including Bryce Cartwright getting his life back on track in Australia's cocaine capital, State of Origin's move to the rugby league mecca of Adelaide, and whether or not Cameron Smith can therapise the wild antics of Cameron Munster. But first, the only man who can successfully play guitar using only his arse cheeks. Of course, I refer to Chips Jones.
That took a lot of practice. You know, you can't just sit on your arse all the time.
Where does the pick go?
May as well do something with it. Well, you've got to clench yourself. You really want it.
You've really got to want it.
You really got to want it. The State of Origin is moving to Adelaide. What the fuck is that?
It's a strange move. What have you made of it?
Well, it's been rammed down our throats.
Sounds a bit sexual.
Well, you know, there's an Adelaide Rams pun in there, which clearly you've fucking forgotten about them, but that's okay. Mate, Adelaide's 40 degrees in the shade. It's like Queensland. Give me a break. We haven't won a fucking game, and now you want to take us out to the desert. It's disgraceful.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on down there, is
mate,
there?
Mate, I think it's the next best thing from Melbourne. I think the only saving grace is they're not going to do it until 2020, which means it could take, you know, we might not live long enough.
Will they be into it? Will they even know the rules?
Well, how far is Adelaide from Melbourne?
Oh, I don't know. Across the shit desert, probably an hour and a half.
Oh, it might be. A
Are
bit
you
more
running?
Than that, but
it's probably days.
But everyone from Melbourne's going to go there.
But you know, in Adelaide, I think most of the population haven't even heard of rugby league. It's an AFL stronghold. I worry they'd be playing to a bunch of empty seats.
Could be some kind of coup going on here.
But I've got a bit of an issue, Chip, with Origin going to Adelaide. I'm not particularly happy about it. Now, the problem with it, I think, is nothing gets better when it goes to Adelaide.
Yeah, that's
I don't
true.
Think that. I mean, it just doesn't. So that's why
true.
Would Origin get better?
Well, tell me something successful out of Adelaide. Barry Humphries?
Did he come from Adelaide?
Well, he was a Melbourne guy, I think.
He might have visited Adelaide.
I think he might have. Maybe he could stick up for him. He could do
I
it.
I don't think that counts, Chip.
No.
What else was
who
successful
came from Adelaide?
In Adelaide?
Well, they're famous for churches.
Leighton Hewitt came from Adelaide.
Yeah, something successful from
yeah, that's true.
Like, good.
Oh, sorry. Well, the Adelaide Crows, I mean, they've done well lately.
Have they won?
I don't know. I don't follow the AFL. Okay. Shit.
Can we find out?
It's a tough one. We probably need more knowledge, but I think we're both right. I think our intuition here is right.
Adelaide sucks.
Adelaide sucks. And I'll cite some examples for you here, Chip, if you like. I mean, did any of the victims of Snowtown Massacre get any better when they went to Adelaide? The answer is no. Did the Adelaide Rams get any better when they went to Adelaide? The answer is no. The only thing that got slightly better when it went to Adelaide was Bradley John Murdoch. He was less sloppy down there with his murders. But it wasn't so good for those German tourists he attacked. So the answer is still no. Chip, can you think of anything else that's gotten better when it started outside of Adelaide and gone to Adelaide?
Well, oh, Jesus, I'm leaking.
Oof, that's what she said.
I mean, what sport? I mean, you said the Rams. We still, have they ever won anything? Have they won a game?
I think they did.
They probably must have won a game.
They probably won a game back in 1998, I think. Graham Oppo had a blinder once. And another thing that I have an issue with, Chip, is the Adelaide crowd. Now, we've mentioned it before, but I get the sense that even if they turned up to this game, they won't have a fucking idea what's going on. It could be like playing in front of 100,000 people with just stone-deaf silence.
Wow, that's a scary thought.
Just
actually.
A fucking stadium full of Helen Kellers.
Yeah, you've got to really feel that those eyes on you, don't you? But there's no sound. You like, what are they thinking?
Well, Cameron Smith will be confused because normally his whole game plan is reacting against the boos of the opposition.
He might not know how to operate.
No, I think he'll be confused. Mm. That could be a good thing for New South Wales at least.
I think we've thought about what could be a good thing for New South Wales for the best part of a decade. And
it's never really worked,
has it?
It's
not really working, no. So, yeah. You know, Adelaide, it's hot. You know, I think the best thing for New South Wales, like, we need like a bunch of David Clemmers in our team. Just some absolute fucking hard cases.
Well, that could be confusing because I don't know if David Clemmer would enjoy playing halfback. Like if you just had a whole team of Clemmers. I mean, I take your point.
No, 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 not a team of them, like a few of them.
Oh, okay,
like
a few, so just
like
a few.
Forward pack that kind of...
Just all, the know, whole forward pack of Clemmers.
Fashioned on Clemmer, the pack man.
Mm. Is he a fan of himself? There might be friction within the Clemmers otherwise.
I think he just likes to hurt people. And the good thing about New South Wales is you don't have an away jersey. There's no confusion. It's just, are they in blue or maroon?
Mm. Well, I mean, the New South Wales jersey, I think it's just been all white lately, haven't they? Just waving the white flag.
They're pretty clean.
Yeah, very clean. You know. Yeah, particularly Pierce's jersey, yeah. I found, over the last 5-6 years. Very clean. Immaculate.
Has he asked for any of those back yet? You just keep going and taking them, don't you? Every time he's got him out on the washing line, he's washed the blood and the shit off. You think, oh, fuck, another clean jersey. I'll have that. You can't.
Mitchell Pierce is the only player to have ever played Origin whose jersey got cleaner throughout the game.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's like he's gone out of his way to nappy sand shit. We should talk about the exclusive interview that we've secured with the player manager of Bryce Cartwright.
Well, it wasn't easy. Mustafa's a friend of mine, and he's agreed to go on the record. So
this was Chip's interview with Mustafa Adjawati.
So how did the deal to get Bryce to move to the Gold Coast come about, mate?
Well, Bryce felt very stuck in Penrith, Chip. He felt like he couldn't develop any further.
Okay, like as a player?
No, nailing bitches. See, there's only so many of them at the foot of the mountains. He had to expand the field a bit.
Okay, but aside from his womanising, how will Bryce go playing for the Titans this year?
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, I think Bryce will do amazing, you know. He has the talent to do very, very well up there. It's a new squad. It'll do him the world of good.
So who in the squad do you think Bryce will gel with best?
You know, it's hard to say. If I was pushed, I'd probably say Chastity, Crystal, definitely Tahalia.
No, made in the playing squad.
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant the cheerleading squad. I don't think he's thought too much about the playing squad, to be honest. But, you know, he is a bit of a swinger, so he might.
What kind of position is he going to play, mate?
Bryce is pretty open to positions. He's pretty flexible, but mainly he enjoys, you know, reverse cowgirl, doggy style,
mate,
obviously.
Yeah,
the reverse Siberian cherry monkey is another one of his favourites.
That sounds great, mate, on the field. Keep it on the field, mate.
No. Bryce does not like to have sex on the field. Not anymore. Okay. Not since 2005.
We have to leave it there, needless to say. Sounds like Bryce will do great in 2018. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, recently there's been a story breaking out of Melbourne, and it's very rare, Chip, that you get disharmony down underneath Craig Bellamy's stern leadership. But there has been some rumblings of Cameron Munster playing up down there. Apparently alcohol-related. Have you heard about this?
Well, I heard from Craig about this. And
you've heard directly?
He said, and I wrote this down.
Okay.
Early, and that's such a Bellamy way to introduce a sentence. Early, he had some rough edges. We had to fold off a touch. Now, that's so far, that's a direct quote, jump to touch there, right? So,
how do you fold off someone's rough edges? Does he mean
Craig,
metaphorically?
I ask Craig, like, I'm just here to...
Or did he literally get a cheese grater and apply it to Cameron Munster to try to sort of...
So that's not folding off, that's kind of shredding off.
Well, I thought you'd more round off the edges.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You're probably right.
I'm not sure. So, anyway, he had to fold off a touch of them edges. He goes on to say, following the World Cup, he just seemed to lose his way there for a bit. Now, I've got a few theories on this, and I think Cameron Munster's struggling because when you're playing with Cameron Smith and you're on the field, even at training, everyone's yelling, Cameron, yes, give me the ball, Cameron, 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 all the time, because Cameron Smith's feeding the ball, right?
Yep.
So Cameron Munster, it becomes a bit disorientating for a simple person. He's quite a simple guy, right? So they did try and give him a nickname. But, you know, he struggled now with his own name because everyone's calling him Cameron. It's not him.
What was his nickname?
He couldn't remember.
Oh,
I used to call
out
all different ones at him. He'd just stand there with a glazed look. He wouldn't respond to anything, unfortunately. It was a bit of a worry.
Maybe Munster. Do you think Cameron Smith is the person to bring Munster under control? I mean, Munster's only, what, 23 years old? We know Cameron Smith is incredibly talented as a rugby league player. Can he be just as talented as Cameron Munster's shrink?
No, I don't see it somehow. Like, I like the idea. You know, he could mentor him on the field. He could be a kind of life coach. Problem with that, though, is that when you need to tell him off, don't drop the fucking ball again. Or, mate, you need to go and have a break. Or,
I told you to tackle that guy. When it doesn't come through, if he's not up to par, Cameron can't be, you know, letting his feelings take control.
I think we might be underestimating just how well Cameron Smith adapts to new things. I get the feeling that if you said, Cameron, we need you to be Munster's shrink.
One to colonise Mars. We're just going to send you there.
Okay, yes.
We're going to give you a football so you don't feel lonely.
Mm.
And we just, mate, there's got to be a way you can breathe on there, right? Just go figure it out.
He'd make it happen.
He could do it.
Yeah, right? He's the one guy who could do it.
6 months later, he'd have a whole fucking game of football going on with the locals. Do you know what I mean? He'd just be showing, introducing rugby league to foreign living organisms on other planets. He could do that.
I think the Blues would be happy if he fucks off to Mars.
Well, you say that, but they've already moved it to Adelaide.
Here at World Vision, we don't just save starving Africans. We also help ailing NRL clubs get back on their feet again. Meet the Parramatta Eels. They were once a thriving club full of promise and self-belief. That was until they were struck down with a life-threatening case of Jarryd Hayne. Now the Eels face a life of constant jeering, depression spirals, and a vastly increased criminal defence expenditure. For just $1 a day, you can help the Eels find hope again. With the money, the Eels will be able to fund a top-notch contract attorney who may be able to rule Hayne's contract invalid. So give generously and help an old NRL club once again find its will to live. Money donated may not guarantee the forced relocation of Jarryd Hayne to Uruguay.
Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, Chip, we're talking Bryce Cartwright, as we've alluded to earlier in the show. He's walked out on Penrith for a career with the Gold Coast Titans. Is that a sage career move?
I have heard on the grapevine that up there, it's the only place in Australia you're actually allowed to drink and drive. I didn't know this, so anyone.
Well, that's an advantage for Bryce. He won't get in trouble for it.
I'm saying, so you can actually get shit faced and still show up to training as long as you get there.
Yeah. What's behind that that law? That sounds a wee bit dangerous. If you don't mind me saying,
it was one of those things I heard, and I just thought, oh, that'll do. I'll have that.
Okay.
I didn't do a lot of research into it, but I did hear.
Is it any drug?
I think I heard it.
Can you get on meth and have whiskey and go at 130?
I've never had a problem as long as you don't get pulled over. Like, if you don't actually get pulled over, it's pretty much okay.
My problem here, Chip, and I have a lot of problems, clearly, the way I introduce these segments.
It looks better, though. You're clearing up.
Thank you, mate. Yeah. People who go to the Gold Coast, Chip, don't tend to get their life back on track, though, do they? It's not the place you go for redemption. It's really the place you go to join an organised crime unit.
Well, if you're going to leave Penrith, plus people in Penrith can probably get to the Gold Coast if they wanted to.
They never do,
drop
though.
Drop you a visit. You
they
know,
never get past the
really roar about it. Or
the
whatever,
KFC drive-thru. They never seem to go past that point.
It's at this time of the year, because the mountains just get fucking hot, mate. That you go, let's go training, boys, and you're at altitude and the sun, middle of it, and you just think, fuck this.
They're not in the mountains, Chip.
I'm just going to go to the beach. I'm going to live in fucking Gold Coast.
Mm.
I'm going to train on the sand and the water and the girls. Thanks. See ya.
But, you know, when people say they're going to go to the Gold Coast, Chip, to get their life back on track, I think it's a bit like, I don't know, an actor saying, I'm sick of winning all these accolades for roles on the silver screen. How about I do a stint as one of the whores on Married at First Sight?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Yeah,
if
horrible.
You're a functioning celebrity, the last place you're going to be is in a show like that.
No.
That's like, I was a celebrity. Get me out of here.
One thing that Bryce Cartwright told the media after making the decision was that a motivator for him was the fact that he didn't want to have to play 5'8 anymore, which I found interesting, because at Penrith, Bryce was often thrown into the six role, even though he's not a six. Could that have been an incentive for Bryce, you think, to go up to the Gold Coast?
Who doesn't want to play number six?
Well, when you're a fucking second row, though, would you want to? David Clemmer wouldn't want to play number six,
yeah,
for
but
example.
They're not the same kind of thing. Like, I don't see David Clemmer really throwing a cutout ball at all.
No, you're right. Bryce has more ball skills, but he's not a 5'8".
Well, you might say that about Brad Fidler, because he was.
Well, no, I definitely say he's
lock.
A 5'8".
Yeah, but he had the body shape, and he was particularly later on in a lot of the Origins as well. He played lock.
He did, but remember, he started as a centre. So with Bryce, his whole career, you know, of success so far, he's been in the second row, and they've sort of thrown him there in the sixth role, I think, as a matter of convenience. And they've kind of fucked his career up a little bit because he can't tackle to save his life in that position either. He can't move that fast laterally.
Yeah.
And he's leaked a lot of points. There's a chance that he might be just trying to get away from Anthony Griffin. This brings us on to another point here, Chip. Anthony Griffin, the Penrith coach. There has been an exodus at Penrith, like you said, hasn't there? I mean, let's count them up. So there's no Matt Moylan.
Mm.
Bryce Cartwright's now gone.
Yep.
Tuaro Martin left mid-year.
Okay.
I hear Tyrone Peachy wants out.
Really?
Yeah. So it's a lot of players, a lot of quality players. What's wrong with Hook?
Maybe he's a bit bent.
Do you think bent in what way?
I don't know, like a Hook?
When I see him interviewed, he's not a particularly warm fellow.
Yep.
Seems a bit austere, a bit tough. Kind of very Cold War. He looks a bit Slobodan Milosevic.
Yeah, he's hard to deal with. Not really the kind of guy you'd want to go to for a favour, shall we say? Like, if you know, if you're hard up for whatever particular reason, you know. Yeah, like
he'd hold you to it.
Might just
he?
Take advantage a little bit of you there, I would think.
So who's going to be left at Penrith by the end of 2018? We've got five stars who have gone in the last 12 months.
Who are they going to hire? Who are they going to sign?
The only guy who's gone there, funnily enough, was James Maloney because he did the swap for Matt Moylan. That's going to be interesting to see James Maloney underneath Hook in this situation because he's a guy who's already played for 98 clubs.
But he always seems a little bit cheeky, James Maloney. So he'd probably have something to say back at an opportune moment in the dressing room, maybe make the coach look really stupid.
You're right
saying,
about
I
that.
I heard this anywhere. I'm just saying, might bring it to a head. And Jimmy might just say, well, you know what, fucking Hooker, you can go and get fucked, you can.
Do you reckon he sounds like that?
Have you heard him in an interview?
Yeah, I have. He always strikes me as the kid, he looks like the kid who's just stole the tuck shop money.
Yeah, like 100% that's what Jim Maloney looks like. Like that similar look. Butter wouldn't melt in my mouth, but if it did, I'd have just licked your daughter's stamp collection with it.
Big things afoot in Brisbane, Chip. There is a young player called David Fifita. Now, don't get him confused with the shit Fifita. By the shit Fifita, I mean Andrew's brother, who doesn't play first grade anymore. But what it does bring to the surface is whether or not the NRL is big enough to have two players with the same name in it. Should the NRL take steps to expunge the memory of the shit David Fifita now that we have a new and better one?
Sort of like a ministry of truth for the NRL.
Yeah,
we could go and find all the old documentation that mentioned the unmentionable Fifita and delete the history. Start again.
I mean, you're not missing out on much.
Well, I think the interesting thing is all those promotional campaigns that were coming out that got cancelled because of what a fucktard he is, they can all go ahead now.
Yeah.
Just using the other Fifita. So could be a win-win.
It kind of opens up a lot of doors. I mean, there have been players in the NRL that have had the same name. There's two Nathan Browns in the NRL, for example, but one's a coach and one's a player.
Much. Yeah, but that's a bit much because the first name's the same as well. I mean, that really... We should start getting into the second and the third. You know, Nathan Brown the second. Oh, that's a cool name. All right, cool.
Yeah, we could do that.
I'll be the second.
The offspring. But you're saying that under that logic that we keep the shit David Fifita and we call him the first... And the young one coming through who's talented, we call him David Fifita the second.
Yeah, or you could even call him Mark II.
Well, what happens, I'd imagine there's going to be some kickback, Chip. Now, this is the problem. So if we go ahead and expunge all the records of the senior David Fifitas, if we go and expunge all those records, I'd say David Fifita's not going to take that well. Are there any rules we can take to sort of physically have him relocated?
Yeah.
There is, yeah?
Yeah, I think.
You think we should set a precedent?
I mean, one tranquilizer. Just tranquilize him in training.
Yep.
Ship him off.
Really. And then so there's no more David Fifita.
Well, how do you think Greenland got started? You had Iceland.
I tell you
Greenland.
What, I don't think it was through David Fifitas.
No, but like, have you seen Vikings?
No.
Right, okay, so. But sometimes someone will go from one country
Greenland.
To another country and build a new country. Cool. Okay. So that David can go and do that.
So what you're saying is you'd banish David to an icy abyss.
Pack him off.
Now that we have a young David Fifita to replace the old David Fifita, now all we need is a new Andrew Fifita, and we're fucking laughing.
So apparently gay people should be executed. This is...
Well, that's tough but fair.
This is a quote apparently from one Anthony Mundine.
Should Anthony Mundine ever be welcomed back in the rugby league fold after saying it was permissible for homosexuals to be executed,
well,
Chip?
I've really got to make a stand here that at first I think... We will disagree and then I think we'll come to agree. We must defend free speech, because we need to be able to ignore stupid people. If he said nothing, we would have had no idea what kind of fucktard he really is. And I'd like to nominate him for this week's fucktard of the week.
What a fucktard.
And I'd also like to put a shout out. Has anyone seen Sven Otke lately anywhere?
He should be brought back as a national hero, shouldn't
he? Get him in touch. Get him over for a visit.
Should we make it Sven Otke Day? The day that Mundine came out and said it was okay to execute gay people?
Well, I think we should just get another rematch on.
Mm. Otke would be pretty old now, wouldn't he?
I don't think that would matter.
I don't think so either. Mm. We'd probably arm Otke anyway, because the Australians want him to win, so we'd just probably give him a knuckle duster and a knife.
The old Aussie way.
Now, this isn't the first time Anthony Mundine has said stupid shit either, Chip. Just to go through some of the silly things he said, he claimed Jeff Horn has only been talked about because he is a, quote, white boy. He said pedophiles want their rights, just like gay people want their rights.
I don't know that there's pedophile rights. I'm not quite sure how that works.
Well, he is conflating homosexuality with pedophilia, which is a bit of a problem.
But I think pedophilia is a bit of a far too distorted and dangerous and hurtful thing. We don't need to be discussing. That's a shock.
Getting back to good old-fashioned rugby league, should we stop consulting his opinion now that we're completely clear that he's a douchebag? Stop inviting him onto things like the footy show. Maybe stop consulting his opinion as the spokesperson for all Indigenous people, because, as you said, he is a right fucktard.
I think
maybe we should just start to zone him out a little bit.
Dial him out.
Yeah.
Maybe to a degree, but I think it's it's also important to keep an eye on people like that. You don't want to
drive them underground.
No, you don't want to do that.
Keep laughing at them.
Yeah, you know, bring him around from time to time, have a listen, see where he's up to.
Yeah.
Okay, mate.
Now, Chip, to round off the show, I think what we might do is start implementing a bit of a tradition where we review the games coming up. Now, I know that the NRL kickoff is still a few weeks away, but I thought it was still a good idea for us to maybe have a look at the matches and let our listeners know who we think's going to win.
Let's do it.
So I'm just going to start off. Starting off with the cracker on the 8th of March. The Dragons host the Broncos. Ooh. How do you see that match going?
Big game.
Benny Hunt playing against his old club straight away. That's quite that could be interesting.
I think the Broncos in a tight one.
Okay.
Yep. I think it's just going to be one of those
dour affair, you think? Okay.
Yep. Technical games.
I'm going to go. I mean, the Dragons are at home, but that's not the reason I'm going to go with it. It's played at Jubilee Oval. I get the sense that Dragons will be one of these teams floating thereabouts the eight this year. And I think the Broncos, this is just my opinion, might be on a bit of a slide this year. So for that reason, I'd go the Dragons by about 6 points in that game.
Okay.
Moving on to the Friday game, the highly remodeled Newcastle Knights take on the Manly Sea Eagles. At McDonald Jones Stadium, there would be a huge crowd up at Newcastle. They get good crowds even when they're shit. But now that they've got an entirely new team that's a credible threat for the finals, it should be a sellout. How do you see that game going?
Newcastle Manly.
Well, just doing his sums there, guys. He's a bit like you know, the guy from A Beautiful Mind.
It's an art form. I see Newcastle running away with this one by 12 points.
And how do you think the Mitchell Pearce factor will go with the Knights?
I think they'll be strong. I think they'll come out playing well. I think they'll have a few good games in a row, potentially. Get some belief, only to have it tested.
Okay, so you think they might fall away?
I think they're going to be tested about 3 to 4 games in, to 4 weeks in.
But they'll burst out of the gates, you think?
I think they'll start strong.
I think they'll start strong too. Where do you see Manly? Now, Manly's an interesting team because last year they made the finals. They were at one point touted as being a threat for the premiership, and then they kind of fell away a little bit. But they've still got the likes of Dally Cherry-Evans there, some pretty dangerous outside backs like Dylan Walker, Tom Trbojevic. They've got Jake Trbojevic, and you know, so there's a lot of quality players there. But they have lost someone who I thought was a real key for them last year, which was Green, who they kind of lost going to get the signature of Mitchell Pearce. And when it didn't work out, they were down a playmaker. So they kind of fucked up there. So for me, they're about a key playmaker down. Do you think that might affect them this year? It's sort of just all on Cherry Evans' shoulders now.
Yeah, well, you know, they'll probably be ready to change things around if need be.
They might even throw Dylan Walker back in the six. I hope they don't,
yeah,
because he's much better at the centre.
I think Newcastle will be far too strong for them in the opening week. I think.
Manly... I hope they go well this year too. You know, part of me, outside of the fact I think they will, I hope the Knights, just for rugby league's sake and for Newcastle's sake, they have a good year. Moving on to the Cowboys-Sharks game, this could be the game of the round. This would be a very interesting one. The Cowboys, you'd imagine, grand finalists last year, would have to be thereabouts again as a threat for the premiership. Their team hasn't changed much. In fact, all they do is get back Matt Scott and Jonathan Thurston into a team that made the grand final. Whereas the Sharks have been very good lately, but there's a lot of change in personnel this year. There's no James Maloney. Paul Gallen's another year older. He's now 87.
The evergreen Gallen.
The evergreen Gallen.
So much like a tree.
Yeah, I think he thinks a lot like a tree.
He's a tree.
Yes. There's certainly no central nervous system of thought going on.
It's just trunk. The whole thing.
How do you see this game going, Chip? Do you think Paul Gallen will have just enough fire in the belly to take it to the Cowboys?
I don't think he's moving quick enough.
Neither.
To be honest.
No. Mentally or physically?
Look, there's so few enjoyable moments quite like watching a player you've never liked go downhill.
It's a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like... You're never going to get there, mate. Yeah.
Just to clarify here, naturally, you don't want him to go downhill via Lou Gehrig's disease or something.
Well, he's gone downhill all through the Blues. Through his career, he's been going downhill.
Yeah, incrementally each year.
So, you know, at least now he's not fucking up anything I care about, which is great.
It's good for us.
So, mate... You just go for it. Have a ball.
If you are listening and you happen to be a Sharks fan, please tweet at the Voluntary Tackle. Are you a fan of Paul Gallen or you don't want to see him fuck off? I'm interested. I actually don't know what the answer to that would be. For the record, I think the Cowboys will get that game and I think they'll do them by about 12 points. How do you see it going, mate? I didn't get yours.
I'm going to say Cowboys by an odd number. I see a field goal in there for some reason.
Really? That's very Nostradamus.
So I'm going to go for Cowboys by 21 points.
Can you please put just $1 on that? Because it would be 80,000 to one. Now, the West Tigers, the poor old West Tigers playing the Roosters. Now, this is
poor
one... I do say it because I like the Tigers, actually. I think they're a sort of a people's favourite, but they do struggle on the field and they haven't had a lot of success over the long term. But they are playing the Roosters, who, it must be said, is the bogey team of bogey teams for them. I think they're about 1 in 40 against us over the last 10 years. A lot of changes at the Tigers. Obviously, the Roosters changes are well documented in having Kronk and Tedesco join, but for the Tigers, they've lost a lot of personnel and gained a fair bit too. It's a difficult team to make out how they're going to go. Josh Reynolds, I read recently, has I think been appointed the skipper for Tigers, and he's just come to the club. That's a big call. And you'd have to say Josh Reynolds is a plucky player, but he's not a match winner. They've lost Tedesco. They've lost Moses. It's hard to see too many great things there. Am I being too bleak?
No, you're just so smug. You're just so smug. The amount you're trying not to be is
that what's feeding into it?
Of how fucking smug you are about that. But yeah, I do agree with you. I think the Roosters will be far too strong. I see them winning by 16.
It's a good call. I'll go with the same. I think the Roosters by 16. The next one I'd probably say is the stinker of the round. It's probably the game that if I was to miss one, I'd probably miss this one. The Rabbitohs hosting the Warriors. For me, these are two teams that I just can't see doing well in 2018. What do you think?
Yeah, I already kind of switched off a bit there. I wasn't paying attention.
That's how bad they are.
Who is it?
The Rabbitohs playing the Warriors.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. I would write, who cares? I think probably the Warriors. Let's see. Rabbits at home.
They've got Greg Inglis back.
Greg is back.
That's
okay,
the factor.
They're going to win. Say Rabbits by 8.
Okay. Give them a purely little, on the basis of GI.
Greg Inglis is probably worth 12 points a game.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. But, it's just so much riding on the shoulders of Greg Inglis. That's the problem, isn't it?
It's a lot on the knees, too.
It's a lot of load on those knees. You know, not one for digressions, but GI, just to give you the listeners an idea of how highly thought of GI is in my mind. When he was in his peak, I remember watching the film Apocalypto, very good film, directed by Mel Gibson. And there was a scene where these natives are fleeing arrows and the only way to get away from these projectiles...
Zigzag.
Exactly. And I remember thinking in that moment, Greg Inglis would easily get away there.
Yeah.
That's how good he was. Yeah. It was even permeating art.
Thanks for sharing.
I think the Rabbitohs will win, but in a very tight game, and I've really got no idea about that game. The next game we've got coming up at an interesting time of 9 o'clock Australian Eastern Standard Time, and that's because it's been played in Perth as a part of a double header, is the Bulldogs and the Storm. Now, the Storm, even by Cameron Smith's own admission, may be a little bit undercooked for the first time. in quite a few years. I think a lot of the there was an extra delay that the players had off in the off season. Cooper Cronk leaving the club obviously was a big disruption. The incidents of Cameron Munster. There's a few off-field things happening for the Storm. So I'm wondering if this might be the first time we see a bit of an un-Storm-like team take the field in round one. They may just prove me wrong completely.
Yeah, I can sense why you're feeling that. I just don't believe in it. I get the impression that, yes, they could be under a lot more pressure. They might be missing one of their core players and someone that I think they've... been quite visible to say we really upset that he's leaving. Bellamy's going to have to build that with someone else.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Chip, because Melbourne being Melbourne, they always have great replacements. And there's a young kid called Brody Croft that I think many of our listeners will be aware of who does strike you as being a superstar in the making. It'll be interesting to see how he slots into the number 7 jersey. I mean, no one's going to be Cooper Cronk overnight. But maybe Croft's one of the guys that can actually take the helm one day.
Yeah, well, I think Bellamy's very good at building his team around core players. But it takes a while to make those core players. I don't think they just step in overnight in most cases, and particularly not for a young footballer.
Mm.
That would be really rare. So that might take them some time. I do think they'll dispatch the Bulldogs, though.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. After all this, I still think the Bulldogs will be beaten. Although, you know, the only X factor for me, I don't see the personnel looking good for the Dogs, even though they have got Kieran Foran and I think Aaron Woods has gone over there. But they've still got a lot of the same cattle that were there last year that didn't do well. They've lost James Graham, who I think is a great player.
He's a great player.
Great tough. Player. Very tough. Tough as nails. And the X factor for me, though, is Dean Pay. Now, they've got a new coach. I think they needed a new coach. I'm not saying Hasler's a bad coach, but he was in a rut at the Dogs. There's no doubt about that. And they hadn't changed their playing style in 5 years. They just hadn't adapted. And they were coming out doing the same thing every week and were very predictable. The one thing that Dean Pay might bring, at least, is an X factor. They might bring a different style of footy.
Well, funnily enough, I'm going for the Storm by 4, which is very close.
Yeah, I think it'll be tight too.
Too used to winning. It's going to take a while for that to rub off.
Moving on to the Panthers-Eels game, Chip. Now, this is another very interesting game, if you ask me. This is... taking place at Panthers Stadium. It used to be Pepper Stadium. They must have lost the sponsorship. It's gone to Panthers Stadium. The Eels we've talked about, is that both these clubs have some major X factors overhanging them. The Eels obviously being Jarryd Hayne. Will he play? Won't he play? Will he gel? Etc. Whereas the Panthers, everyone's left. So what Panthers are there? Are we playing with? You've still got James Maloney who knows how to win. He's a winner.
Yep.
That's a really difficult game for me to predict. I'm probably leaning with the Eels, but I'm not very sure.
Well, give me your Eels by how much?
I think the Eels maybe by 6.
Okay.
I'd imagine Clint Gutherson must be back. He's one of my favourite players.
Mm-hmm.
Lit up the NRL last year and was very cruelly on the cusp of the final, struck down with a season-ending injury. If he's back and fully fit and playing like he did last year.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a GP here. I'm going for Golden Point.
Who are you going with in that game?
I'm going Golden Point.
Okay, but with any particular winner? Or?
Could go either way.
You've got to make a
too
call.
Too close to call.
You're calling a draw
I'm
then.
I'm calling a Golden Point. I'm saying it'll go to Golden Point further than that.
You can't bend anything the rules. Could happen. It's anything. Like me going, how's Penrith Parramatta going? I think that'll be a good game.
Oh, I can choose the bet I want to make.
You need to choose an outcome.
No, well,
that's a basic premise.
The outcome is that when they play, they'll go longer than...
That's not
minutes.
The outcome. That's something happens during the match.
No, that's a fact.
Make a prediction, you soft cock.
I can't. It's so soft.
All right, we'll call you a draw on that one then, because you can't split them, clearly.
You can say what you like.
And we'll come to the last game of the round, which is another weird one. Titans hosting the Raiders.
Oh, God.
God, as a betting man, you'd have to stay away from this game, wouldn't you? I have no idea again. The Raiders last year are very disappointing. The year before that, they were a team that could well have won the premiership. They choked really against the Melbourne Storm in the preliminary final in 2016. And in 2017, they had an absolute fizzer. And they just lost a lot of games by less than 4 points. So they could be one of those teams that bounce back because they've clearly got a lot of talent. Playing the Titans, they have a brand new coach. They've poached a few players. They should be a very different team than they were last year. You'd hope so, because they were horrendous last year. But they had a lot of reasons to be horrendous. They had Jay Hayne sort of destroying the whole dynamic up there, killing their coach. They had financial problems. Yeah. At least they should have a lot more stability there this year. How do you see this game going?
Look, this is a tough one. I'm going to go with the Titans by 6.
Interesting.
Yeah, just I think you've got a fresh team. Really anything can happen. I think everyone will, you know, try to be pulled in the same direction, you know?
Yep.
And I haven't been impressed by the Raiders in a while.
Mm.
They did
have a pretty ordinary season last year.
Yeah, the season previous, there were some moments of brilliance. They played some fantastic football. But no consistency.
There was a weird season, though. I think the Roosters had a similar one a couple of years back where we didn't make the finals, but we lost a lot of games by less than a try.
That's right. Yeah.
And the same thing really happened to the Raiders last year. Now, drawing a form line there doesn't necessarily mean that they've been horrendous in games. In fact, they were competitive in all those games. They just forgot how to win. And I'm wondering if this year with a fresh start, Dave Taylor-less, they might be a little bit bit more focused to get over the line in the 80th minute. I don't know.
Maybe. Interesting. Yeah, it's interesting because Melbourne have remembered how to win so much. Mm. They've taken all of the remembering juice.
They've been Canberra very selfish with it.
Having a drought, really. There's no remembering.
The one great thing, the saving grace for Canberra losing Chip for me is seeing a good Ricky Stewart press conference when they lose. There is nothing finer.
Yeah, he really does hit him out of the park, doesn't he? You can see how angry he is.
He gets so angry.
It's tough not to like that.
I know. I really enjoy it.
Just say, oh, I'll just turn this up and see what Ricky says here.
Sometimes I'll miss the game, but I'll tune in for the Ricky Stewart press conference.
Oh, sure. I always kind of look for those. Mm. They're gold mines.
He's always blaming someone.
Yep.
It's never his own team's fault.
And that look in his eyes, the way he kind of focuses around the room, like he's actually half predator, half wounded animal. You know.
Yeah, it can't be a good characterization of him, can it?
No.
There's no way that that's a flattering...
What do you think he's like in the fucking dressing room?
Anyway, Chip, look, this has been a fun podcast, and thank you again for your company. It's been fascinating. I want one tidbit from you going forward in the next couple of weeks. What major story is going to break by the time we come back on air?
Well, I think I think Jared Hayne will get a contract for rugby union.
Okay,
That's particularly surprising or big news. I think that's pretty obvious.
Who will he be playing like for?
No, that's who knows.
Okay,
Fiji.
Fiji. He absolutely sunk their chances at the Olympics when he joined the Fijian Nines.
Yeah.
Played awful.
Yeah.
Fucked them up. They were a good team before you joined them. And I'm wondering if they've got long memories and they might go, maybe not take Jared. All right, well,
What do you think? What's going to happen in the next month?
I think that there will be no sackings of coaches before the first round.
That's not...
It's not a bold prediction, is it?
It's a bit safe.
Kieran Foran won't start round one for the Bulldogs.
Okay, why not?
He'll have some incident.
Okay.
I don't know what it is.
My favourite racist joke, for example, is what's black and screams?
What?
Stevie Wonder answering the iron.